shoulder then. I'm younger than that now.
Welcome to Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. On today's show, a woman's guide to increasing health span, brain span, and lifespan. Plus, we've got the world's fastest human over the age of 70, the pioneering researcher who is changing the way we view and treat the aging process, and Romancing the Road, a Growing Bolder classic that became our most viral video ever. More Than Media Growing Bolder is a movement of adults who believe that no matter their age or their challenges, life is worth living. You know, we get that life can be tough and unfair, but extra years do mean extra opportunity. Opportunity to learn, to grow, and to love. The key to aging is to not mourn what's lost, but to celebrate what remains. Of course, that's easier said than done, which is why Growing Bolder shares the stories of ordinary people who, no matter their challenges and setbacks, find a way to keep smiling. It's also why we share the wisdom and the insight of true thought leaders, and our first guest today is most definitely one of those. Maddie Dykewald is the co-founder, along with her husband Ken Dykewald, of the globally renowned think tank AgeWave. Maddie has spent the better part of the last 40 years not just researching, but sharing information on the changing culture of aging. Her lifelong mission has pretty much been to help women live better and to live longer. And that mission, that lifetime of work, all comes together in her new acclaimed book, in which she not only shares the latest knowledge from the world's top aging experts, and I mean just about everybody, folks, but maybe even more importantly, she translates that information into insight in very clear action steps to help all women live better and live longer. The book is called Ageless Aging, A Woman's Guide to Increasing Health Span, Brain Span, and Lifespan. We spoke to Maddie Dykewald recently from her home in Northern California. Maddie, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Nice to be here with you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for your time. And I got to tell you, this is a challenge because your book is about this thick. And honestly, it may be the most comprehensive book on the subject of aging that I have ever read. So, you know, where to begin is difficult, but let's start here. Because we talk a lot about a new life stage, because we are in the midst of a longevity revolution. And in truth, it is women who are leading the way. It's women, not a guarantee, but maybe have the greatest opportunity to take advantage. Talk about the demographics of women aging.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. We are at the early stages of this longevity revolution, which impacts all of us. However, it's women who have kind of won the longevity lottery. I mean, we live right now on average 6 years longer than men. So on the surface, that sounds like great news. But while men die quicker, women actually get sicker. And that's even when you correct for our longer lives. So we've got this challenge going on that we've got to figure out how we can better match how healthy we are, our health spans, to how long we live, our lifespans. And there are some steps we can take. It's really in our control now more than ever before.
Who did you write the book for? Obviously women, but I got to tell you guys, if you're listening to this, the vast majority of what's in this book applies to anybody that's a human being. It is definitely targeted toward women, but who did you write it for? Is there a particular age group? Is there a particular kind of women that you were trying to speak to?
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned earlier, Mark, I've been on this aging, longevity, retirement beat for close to 40 years. And you do the math. That means I started in my 30s. I'm now 74 years old. So what I really began to realize is that by looking around me, I saw millions and millions of women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond, who are dealing with the aches and pains of life, who are maybe dealing with a chronic condition, maybe inflammatory diseases. Maybe they just want to feel more energetic and more vital. And I realized that I wanted to be able to come up with a way that these women, us women, could really live better longer. And what really inspired me was the fact that the latest research, and by the way, I talked to more than 100 experts, scientists, researchers, physicians, everyone seemed to agree that while it used to be all about our genetic package that sort of indicated how long we'd live and how well we'd live, that's not the case anymore. Science has really begun to show us that it's our lifestyle and our environment that really dictated by almost 90%. Now, that puts the control directly in the hands of women. Yet, what's crazy, and I really, you know, I love men. I think men are the best. Love them so much. However, men and women are different. Let's be honest about it. Sure, there are certain things that are great for men and great for women, but our genetic makeup is slightly different. And yet most of the books out there on longevity, they were written by men. So I felt like I had to change that narrative. I had to speak directly to women, whether they be wellness veterans or just at the beginning of their wellness journey, because, and that was one of the challenges in writing the book, trying to do both things at once. I wanted to give them the tips, the hacks, the action steps they need to live better, longer right now.
We're talking with Maddie Dykewald, who has written a fascinating book called Ageless Aging. And Maddie, you know, one of the things that we've discovered at Growing Bolder is that, you know, you can quote experts and statistics and research, but it's what we call the someone like me effect. When we can see ourselves in others is when we really, you know, learn things. And maybe you're a perfect example, because as we said, you've spent 40 years working alongside your husband, Ken, working with the true cutting edge thought leaders in this world on longevity. You knew what it was like to have to face aging. You understood the implications of an ageist culture. You understood how mindset controls the way we live. But yet you were in your 60s and you were struggling. So before we talk about, you know, how people can live better longer, take us into your story a little bit, because there were some dark days for you in your 60s when you experienced much of what you talk about.
That's right. And by the way, that was one of my motivators in writing the book, because I've always lived a pretty healthy life. I'm an exercise addict, love to exercise, which, by the way, saved me. But let me kind of explain better. Okay, so I didn't know this, but I was born with hip dysplasia, which today with babies and infants, they correct it. But, you know, I was born 74 years ago. They didn't even know what hip dysplasia was. And I didn't either. But what happened was, because I am an exercise fanatic, I started getting a lot of pain in my hips. And frankly, I started walking with a limp. So ultimately, I went to orthopedic doctor who insisted I get an MRI, got an MRI, and he sat down with me. He literally grabbed my hands and said, okay, you are bone on bone in both your hips. And I literally burst out hysterical crying, because I was like, oh my God, I feel like I've done such a good job of eating healthy. I literally have not eaten red meat since I was like 25 years old. I eat mostly a plant-based diet. How could this happen to me? And he said, you need to get hip surgery in both of your hips, you know, do one, do the other. And I said, but if you were me, what would you do? He said, I'd go to, and he gave me the name of an orthopedist who specializes in doing both hips at once. And that's what I did. I got both my hips done at once. But between the time that I decided to do this hip surgery and the time, there was a couple months. So I did some research and I talked to people like Andy Weil and Mark Hyman, and they gave me advice. They told me to go on an anti-inflammatory diet, which I hadn't been doing. That means it's not complicated, but I cut out gluten, I cut out all sugar, and I cut out dairy. And it wasn't even that hard. And they told me to keep up my exercise, but you know, to treat my body with love. I made a few other changes. And in the process of doing so, within 6 weeks, all of my pain in my hips went away. And I began to realize that food could actually be medicine. And I also changed my sleep patterns. And I realized that, you know what, so can sleep. And of course, so can exercise. And there's a variety of other elements. And I began to realize there was this kind of holistic recipe. For instance, I'd never meditated before. And Andy Weil said to me, meditate. And I did. And I got to tell you, it really, really made a difference. I'm a horrible meditator. Even to this day, I'm not great at meditating. But it taught me how to calm down my mind and also how to reframe some of my negative thoughts, because I certainly had negative thoughts at that time, into positive ones. Frankly, I'm in better shape now, which is about 5 years later, 6 years maybe, than I've ever been in my entire life. And I kept the change. You know, I don't recommend a diet per se. I think the diet wars are kind of crazy. But for me, an anti-inflammatory diet, especially as you get older, is like a godsend. It just helped me cope with my aches and pains.
Wow. So much to unpack there. You know, you mentioned, you know, really a holistic plan. And that's really what this book is. It's not just one thing. And I want to get back to some of that. But let me ask you this, because I think one of the biggest threats to how we age is ageism. It's had a devastating impact on all of our mindsets. It has a devastating impact on our belief system about getting older. Ageism affects every one of us, but I have to think, and is it fair to say, Maddie, that ageism affects women more than men, and the devastation that it can inflict on women can be incredible?
Yeah, absolutely. It can even have financial ramifications. I mean, look at it in the workplace. The fact is that there's something that has been identified as lookism. Now, as women get older and as men get older, they're treated a little bit differently. Now, I'm not saying men don't get ageism thrown in their face, but it's far worse for women. Men, they get older, they look distinguished and maybe wiser. Women, they just get old. And that just doesn't feel fair at all. There's been research done by Becca Levy from Yale, and her research is totally enlightening because she went out and did long-term studies on older adults and found that by having a negative point of view about your own aging and the aging of other people around you, that it can actually take years off your life. And having a positive attitude can, in fact, add years to your life, up to 10 years. So that's great. We want to live longer. But what I find particularly exciting is it's not just the number of years, with the number of healthy years. You really begin to live healthier if you can reframe your whole perspective on aging, that it's, you know, it's a good thing. It can be a very positive thing. More years to reinvent yourself, spend time with your family and friends. And if you have grandchildren, your grandchildren. I have a dog. I love spending time with my dog. You know, I mean, it gives, and also maybe you want a second career, or maybe you want to continue in your career or volunteer your time. I mean, it just opens up the prism so that you can look into the future and kind of be, in many ways, who you always dreamed of being.
You know what we find? There are still a lot of older adults out there that, you know, just think that this is almost toxic positivity. And they immediately default to the excuse that they have bad genes, and they will disregard the example of a healthier 80 or 90 year old is simply the result of some sort of genetic blessing that they don't have. But research now unequivocally proves otherwise. Does it not, Maddie?
You're absolutely right. I mean, Calico, which is on the cutting edge of longevity research, they recently came out by saying that up to 90% of our health and our well-being and our longevity are because of the way we live, our lifestyle and our environment. Now, That's kind of interesting because it used to be, and not that long ago, that we thought it was all about genetics. But that's not the case anymore. Your genetics are a predisposition to what kinds of illness you may deal with, or your energy and vitality, your aches and pains, but it's your epigenetics. So that's how your genes express themselves, which is totally within your control. And to me, that is very exciting news, that there are steps you can take right here and right now, including, as you just mentioned, kind of reframing our point of view about aging and how we feel about our own aging, that can actually help us to live better longer.
The power of reframing our point of view about aging. In other words, what the mind believes, the body embraces. We'll get back to our conversation with Maddie Dykewalt in just a minute as she takes on the confusing messages coming out of the medical community on everything from taking supplements to hormone therapy. And then a little later, an exclusive interview with Damian Leek, athlete, actor, and activist who is now the fastest man over the age of 70 who has ever lived. This is Growing Bolder. We've got news. Watch.growingbolder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Bolder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingbolder.com is now live. Welcome back. This is Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. You know, inspiring people to change their lives is one thing. Telling them where to begin and then how to do it is another matter altogether, which is why I'm a fan of Maddie Dykewalt's new book published by the Mayo Clinic Press that's called Ageless Aging, A Woman's Guide to Increasing Health Span, Brain Span, and Lifespan. And what makes this book different and valuable is that every chapter has action steps to help you on your way. So let's get back to our conversation with Maddie Dykewalt.
Let me begin by saying that I think that women love knowledge. And there's so much confusion out there about, you know, what kind of diets you could have, how much you should sleep, what about your hormones, about these other things like, you know, sitting is the new smoking. I mean, we hear this phrase, but what the heck does it even mean? So there are all these conversations out there that make us think, well, what should I do? And so I wanted to clear up the confusion. We had a lot of interest in this book when I was trying to sell it to publishers. So there were 17 interested publishers, and I chose to go with the Mayo Clinic Press because I'm not a doctor, because I was one of the only authors they've ever had that is not a doctor. They insisted it go through a medical review. So that was kind of scary for me. I'm like, oh my God, say they like think everything I'm saying is bunk. And it was such a good experience for two reasons. One, they didn't think it was a bunch of bunk. There was very few things that they disagreed with me about, and I was able to change. But second was that they had three doctors weigh in on things, and they all had different opinions. Hmm. So what I was able to do is to talk to almost 100 different experts and scientists and medical experts of all kinds, physicians. And I was able to kind of triangulate what is the truth, what is really going on here. And so that's the first thing I try to do in my book, is clear up the confusion and get the facts right for women in particular. Second thing that I tried to do was that I wanted to make sure that I could speak to both those who were wellness veterans who didn't want the simple stuff. They wanted the more complex information, and talk to those who are at the beginning of their wellness journey. So talking to both of those audiences was a little complicated. That's part of why it's a long book, because I have advice at the end of every single chapter that's, first, if you do just one thing about, say, sleep or hormones or the sense of purpose, do this thing. If you're a wellness veteran, do this. If you're just starting your wellness journey, try this. And then I list for every single chapter at least a few action steps or hacks that can really help you to live better longer. Some are really simple to do and don't have to cost any money at all. Other things are low cost, and other things, you know, you're making an investment in your health. But one of the doctors I spoke to said to me, you know, if you have any money at all, investing it in your health is probably one of the best investments you can ever make, better than any stock or bond.
Amen to that. That is the wealth-health connection. The two are inextricably combined. You can't improve one without the other. I'm glad you mentioned the Mayo Clinic, because you quote a Mayo physician, Stephen Kopecky, who says nutrition is the number one risk factor for early death and early disease. And your book has got lots of great nutrition and diet advice, but it all begins, you say, with cutting out sugar. How big of a problem is sugar in the American diet?
Yeah, it's toxic. I mean, I think we've all heard, you know, don't eat sugar. And it's very difficult to do because it's in so many of the foods that we eat. But I would say, yes, it's toxic. You know, cut it out as much as you can, because what it does to your brain health, and by the way, from the studies we've done at AgeWave, we know that the number one fear of both women and men over the age of 50 is their fear of getting cognitive decline or Alzheimer's disease. Now, cutting out sugar, and I hate to say it, even like wine and spirits. I really do hate to say it because I love wine. And I've actually stopped, in doing the research for my book, I've pretty much stopped drinking wine. Not altogether, but pretty much.
And obviously, folks, you can't get vitality in a pill. But that said, Maddie Dykewald, the sale of supplements is soaring. Do you take supplements? And if so, what do you believe in?
Okay, yeah, I do take supplements. Let me begin by saying most doctors will not recommend any, if they recommend any, very few supplements. And that's because they are not FDA approved. And so, you know, keep that in mind. And I think the brand that you buy really matters. But many doctors today will recommend taking vitamin D, taking an omega-3 supplement so that you can really protect heart health, and it's really good for your brain as well, which is fantastic. Yeah, so taking those, and also magnesium has really gotten some traction with physicians lately because it kind of calms your system down, and stress is such a huge deal, and magnesium can really help with that. And of course, there's different kinds of magnesiums, but that's a whole other conversation. There's one other thing I should say. Take a probiotic, because that gut-brain connection is very strong and becoming more and more evident with all the science and research that's being done at the cutting edge. So yes, take a probiotic. Very important to take a good probiotic. Can't say that enough.
You know, we could go forever. Let me begin to wrap this up, because I still have a few more questions. But, you know, I think one of the biggest fears of aging, especially for women, you know, is invisibility. And in your book, you say you have to master the subtle art of not giving a. That's true to some extent, isn't it? It's hard to tune out all of the negativism, you know, that has to do with growing older, when in fact, yes, some of our physical abilities will gradually decline, but we gain so many things. From your research, Maddie, what kind of powers do we get? What things can we gain as we get older?
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. The point is that as we live longer, and this is based on studies that we've done at AgeWave, studies that have been done at Stanford and at Yale and Harvard, we've seen some remarkable gains. And let me just name a few of them. First of all, we know that resilience, and resilience is the ability to bounce back from negative things happening to you. Our resilience really gets so much stronger as we live longer. We saw that during COVID. We saw, for instance, when it came to mental well-being, it was the Gen Z generation that suffered the most. And the older generations generally knew, hey, you know what? I've been through, you know, bad stuff before. I've seen the market go up and down. I've seen wars. I've seen pestilence. I've seen it all. And I've come through to the other side. So I've got this resilience. There's also this idea that we accumulate a certain amount of experience and maybe even for some of us, some wisdom. And that's a pretty great thing, that we can be like the wise elders to the younger generation and create some more intergenerational relationships that, you know, we can give information and experience to them and they can help us with the tech and other things like that. But, you know, creating these intergenerational bridges is really important, and our wisdom and experience really can help us get there. And the other thing that I found truly amazing from our studies, and it was backed up by Stanford, is that as you begin to hit 50, 60, 70 and beyond, your levels of happiness and life satisfaction and contentment, they actually grow. Now, that's interesting. At the same time, and I kind of hinted at this before, our levels of anxiety actually get lower. Now, that's really good news.
It's great news. It's fabulous news. And I read that study that AgeWave just put out, that I think it was 80% of people 60 and older, I'll get the numbers flip-flopped, say that the best time of their life is right now or ahead of them, which is just phenomenal news for everybody. You know, there's so many great parts of this book, folks. I mean, you've got a chapter on hormones are your frenemies. You do a deep dive into hormone therapy, the risks, the rewards. That's something that a lot of women are talking about. What's the takeaway when it comes to hormone therapy these days?
Here's the bottom line. There is a lot of misinformation out there about hormone therapy. And, you know, I spoke to a few of the physicians who are menopause experts. They say that the study that was done in, I think it was 2005, on menopause, the Women's Health Initiative, that information in there has brought gynecologists and other physicians down the wrong track. I mean, this study went on at a time when the general thought was that hormone therapy was a good thing, and this study actually denounced it. That study gave erroneous facts to both the general public, who got frightened to death about hormone therapy and avoided it, and then also to physicians who, particularly those who were trained in the early 2000s. Now, the general point of view is that for most women, not all women, but for most women, hormone therapy is generally a good thing. And it's not just to get rid of the hot flashes and, you know, make your brain fog go away, but it actually has some benefit to your overall health and well-being, well beyond those kinds of symptoms. For instance, cognitive decline is really halted if you do hormone therapy to a great extent. Now, that's really good news. The people who should beware are those who have breast cancer in their families or any kind of other cancer that has to do with fertility.
You know, the book has everything, and we don't have time to go into sleep tips and chronic pain and cognitive decline and pelvic health and the power of purpose, the importance of socialization, fitness, food, medicine, sleep. I mean, it does it all. Give us, if you will, the takeaway about life in general, Maddie, and maybe it, I don't know whether it's in your book or not, I didn't see it, but what have you learned about life in general that you'd like to share with the rest of us? What's the key to a happy, healthy life? What's life about?
Okay, that's a big question, Mark. I think that we've got to look at life as a journey of discovery and dreams come true, and that we're going to have some bad stuff happen along the way, and finding ways to deal with them directly and not try to avoid them is a really good thing. And to keep a positive attitude. I will say that I think our attitudes and our expectations make a huge difference in how we approach our lives and how we feel about our lives. And, you know, change is hard. Making changes is one of the hardest things I see anyone do. But what I learned from my book is, in talking to experts who are way smarter about this than me, is that it takes about 90 days to change a habit. And if you really want to make some changes, just create some new habits. Maybe it's just as simple as when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you put in your body is some warm water with lemon. I mean, it gets the juices going in your gut in a positive way. And, you know, opening up your shades and welcoming the day, the sun, getting your circadian rhythms going. I mean, these kinds, and saying some positive messages to yourself. I mean, these may sound corny and goofy, but if you do it for a few days, you're going to find that you're feeling a little different.
We need more people like Maddie Dykewall to write books because, you know, Maddie, you've done the research, you've been in the field for years and years, you've got the connections, you have the ability to get the answers, and maybe most importantly, you have the ability to translate those answers into a book, you know, an incredible volume that can help people live longer and better. She is Maddie Dykewall, and the book, once again, is called Ageless Aging. You can pick it up just about anywhere you get good books. Coming up, he's appeared in over 70 movies, including Apocalypse Now, Serpico, and Death Wish, and dozens of TV shows like NCIS, SWAT, Ghost Whisperer, and Assisted Living. He's an actor, singer, dancer, and the world's fastest human over the age of 70. This is Growing Bolder.
Sign up for the Growing Bolder Insider newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingbolder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Bolder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingbolder.com/podcasts. In a soldier's stance,
I aim my hand at the mongrel dogs you teach. Welcome back to Growing Bolder. I'm Mark Middleton. You know, we've seen Damian Leake on the big screen and the little screen. We've seen him on the stage, but few have seen him on the track. I made certain to catch up with Damien at the most recent National Senior Games, where I learned that he's far more than just an actor and an athlete. Damien Leake has rewritten the Masters Track and Field record book, setting age group world records in the 50, 60, 100, and 200-meter dashes. He runs fast, but he would like to recover a little faster.
The older we get, the longer it takes to recover, huh?
I tell you, you come out of that turn on that two, it looks like that a mile away. It looks like it's a mile away, you know. And I don't even like the two, as I say.
He might not like the 200, but these days he owns it. Leake is the fastest man over 70 who has ever lived. Born in the Bronx, he grew up in a multi-generational household and remembers his father, an Army veteran, reading Shakespeare to his great-grandfather, a man born a slave who couldn't read.
And he, you know, he would do Julius Caesar, "Why, man, he doth bestride this narrow world like a colossus, and we petty men walk under his huge legs," and people, and he'd do this in his great baritone voice, and I'm looking at him like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
When he was encouraged to audition for New York's prestigious High School of Performing Arts, he recited a speech from Shakespeare and was accepted. He landed his first acting job as a senior, and with the exception of a stint in the Army, has worked ever since, appearing in more than 70 films, including Serpico, Death Wish, Apocalypse Now, The Great Debaters, and The Killing Floor. On television, he's appeared in NCIS, SWAT, Ghost Whisperer, Medal of Honor, Assisted Living, and dozens more. And he's been equally busy on and off Broadway as an actor, singer, dancer, composer, and playwright. His father also sparked a lifelong interest in civil rights activism. Damien was 12 when Medgar Evers was assassinated and 14 when Malcolm X was assassinated.
So when Medgar was killed, he was very angry and he was very upset, but he explained it in a very calm and rational way. When Malcolm X was killed, it was a very similar thing. He came home, and I remember him coming in the house and going, being very frustrated and angry, and now I'm starting to understand what's going on.
3 years later, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, and 16-year-old Damien was crushed.
I was devastated by it, emotionally devastated by it, because I thought, if you're going to kill a man whose attitude is just, let's be peaceful and we have to have peaceful resolutions for things, well, then there's terribly little hope for us. And I was very angry. And it was in that moment that I decided, no, I was not going to stand for the national anthem again. So it was ever since that, and I've not stood for it since.
Just 6 months later, his love for track and field and his belief in civil rights activism intersected at the 1968 Mexico City Olympics. He cheered as Tommy Smith and John Carlos took the gold and bronze medals in the 200 meters and then ignited a firestorm of controversy with their Black Power salute on the podium.
It was such an aha moment that I was thrilled. I was thrilled by the gesture. I have a poster of it in my house. I was thrilled by the gesture. It was just overwhelming to me.
The U.S. Olympic Committee expelled both Smith and Carlos from the Games. But decades later, they've become iconic symbols of human rights, winning the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage, inducted into the U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame, and honored by presidents.
We're honored to have here the legendary Tommy Smith and John Carlos here today. Their powerful silent protest in the 1968 Games was controversial, but it woke folks up.
Damien ran into Tommy Smith one day at Santa Monica College where Smith was coaching.
And I went over to him and I said, Mr. Smith, I cannot explain to you what that moment, what you've done for us all, and I want you to know how much I appreciate it. And he says, well, I'm still out here doing what I can do. And that's been my attitude about everything since that. I'm going to do what I can do.
That desire to make a difference led to a passion that Damien says has transformed his life, coaching kids. His team is called Leak Sleepers, and he teaches them as much about success in life as he does in long jumping.
Give me a 10-year-old who suddenly gets that look on his face of, that was great, and that smile. Oh, baby. I melt. It's changed me totally, I have to say. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
He doesn't only coach the kids on his team. He coaches anyone that he thinks he can help.
So I go to these events sometimes, and I'm sitting in the stands, and somebody will come up to me and say, well, which of these kids are yours? And I say, all of them. They're all mine. So, and sometimes I get flack from other people or other parents and what have you. They say, well, you kind of just coach all the kids. Yeah. Isn't that why we're here? I don't understand any other way. It's like, this is how we're supposed to do, isn't it?
It was at an all-comers meet for athletes of all ages that he first realized there was such a thing as masters track and field.
What? You mean we get to still do this? Oh! So 2 weeks later, I ran my first meet. And one of the guys who was timing said, you know, you're only like a half second off the world record. And I went, oh, now I have to train. now I have to train.
And the rest is track and field history.
What's it like to be you? Because I think arguably you are one of the hottest names in all of Masters Track and Field right now.
It's very nice, and I appreciate it. But I'm having a good time, and that's what counts, the good time. You know, as long as you're enjoying it, that's the deal. I think the main thing is the camaraderie. I think that it gives us a community. It gives us a sense of belonging and getting to do something that we love to do.
Damien Leak. Actor, athlete, human rights activist, and coach. A man on the move, and that's his message for all.
That's just it, what you just said. Keep it moving. You got to keep it moving. I mean, this is your shot. This is your time. No matter what happens to you or what, you know, presents itself, you got to keep moving. You got to keep it going. Keep it stepping, you know. We're here for that long. That's as long as we're here. Keep it moving. On to the next thing, because it's only for a little while.
Keep it moving on to the next thing. That's a philosophy that Damian has obviously embraced it, given that this guy is an athlete, an actor, an activist, a coach, a singer, a dancer, a director, a musician, a composer, a musical director, vocal arranger, playwright, stage fight choreographer, and ventriloquist. Coming up, we'll check in with Dr. Vonda Wright, a Growing Boulder contributor and world-renowned mobility doc who has studied masters athletes like Damian Leak to see what makes them tick and how we can all get some of that. We've got news. Watch.growingboulder.com, the world's first streaming site for active adults, is now live. Growing Boulder TV shows, national specials, documentaries, and inspiring videos on ordinary people living extraordinary lives 24/7 on demand for free. Watch.growingboulder.com is now live. Welcome back to Growing Boulder. I'm Mark Middleton. You know, don't believe everything you read or hear about the rapid and inevitable physical and mental decline of aging. The limits of possibility for the average person are being rewritten almost daily. Dr. Vonda Wright is an internationally recognized authority on active aging. She's an orthopedic surgeon and a pioneering researcher who is changing the way we view and treat the aging process. She's also a regular Growing Boulder contributor who has studied how to maintain muscle mass as we age.
As we age, maintaining our body composition is very important. Hi, I'm Dr. Vonda Wright, and I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and I study how to maintain our lean muscle mass. You know, I did this remarkable observation of masters athletes from 40 to 80, where I actually looked at how being chronically mobile helped us keep our muscles strong. So here's what I did. I put my subjects in an MRI and took slices, if you will, with a magnet, of their quad muscles. You know those muscles that surround our thighs? And what I found was that in 40-year-old masters athletes, our muscles look gorgeous. They have wonderful architecture. They have no intramuscular fat, and they're very, very strong. But then I had subjects in my study who had chosen to sit around for 35 years, and their muscle became almost unrecognizable. In fact, if you think of the 40-year-old triathlete as a flank steak, sitting around for 35 years will make us turn into rump roast. But here's the important part. When I looked at people who had been chronically active, investing every single day in their mobility, I found that they maintained their lean muscle mass. They had minimal amounts of peripheral fat or minimal amounts of fat within their muscle themselves. And they remained very, very strong. This shows us that our body composition not only can be maintained, but is really important, because here's the facts. Fat is not just hanging around our bodies in inconvenient places. In fact, it is a noxious metabolic organ. It releases all kinds of chemicals called cytokines, such as IL-6. These cytokines inflame our entire body, leading to aging and disease. It can even contribute to developing insulin resistance, which is the cause of diabetes. So my advice to you is, let's invest in building some lean muscle mass through chronic mobility. For Growing Boulder, I'm Dr. Vonda Wright.
Well, I have heard of chronic disease, but chronic mobility is a new one, but I like it. It's a great way to think about maintaining muscle mass and bone density as we age. Speaking of maintenance, how many miles does your car have on it, and how many years have you owned your car? When we first spoke to Rachel Veach, she was 89 years old and 43 years into her love affair with Chariot, a Mercury Comet Caliente that she bought brand new in 1965. This is Chariot. And this is Rachel. They've been together 43 years. Chariot has lasted much longer than any of Rachel's three husbands.
She's never lied to me, never cheated on me, and I can always depend on her.
Rachel is 89. Chariot is a
1964 Mercury Comet Caliente hot. I've had her up to 120.
Rachel is the original owner and has put every one of the over 540,000 miles on Chariot's original engine.
How much did you pay for it?
$32.89, all deluxe, power steering, automatic transmission, air conditioning.
Rachel knew early on that she'd keep Chariot for a long time. So, whenever possible, she bought parts with lifetime warranties.
This was the fifth Midas muffler, lifetime guaranteed. I've had seven. This is the shocks from Sears, and I've had three sets. This is the lifetime guaranteed battery from Penny's, and Penny's still pays for it, but Firestone puts it in, and I've had 16 free batteries.
Rachel has just returned from a trip to her 70th high school reunion.
So tell me about the trip to Pennsylvania and back. Were you alone?
Oh, yes.
How many miles?
3,225 miles. And I don't want anybody to wait on or anybody to wait for. I go when I please and do as I please. And if I see a road, I'll take off. I don't even know where it goes, and I don't care. I just want to find out.
Are you ever afraid, though? You're 89.
No.
You're a woman. You're alone. You're in a car that's got 500,000 miles on it. This is why you're not afraid?
Maybe you shouldn't show that.
You know how to use it?
I took the classes. I have the concealed weapons permit.
Back in the driveway, Rachel polishes her pride and joy and is always ready for an impromptu class in auto mechanics.
That's the generator. That's the power steering wheel. This is the air conditioner. That's the cruise control.
Have you ever thought about what would happen if the Chariot dies?
You know what my daughter said? She said we'd soon be burying my mother.
But that's many years and many miles down the road. Rachel and Chariot have traveled more than 500,000 miles together to the moon and back, and both are still running strong. Rachel drove Chariot until she put her into the garage for a final time when she was 93. Rachel passed away 5 years later in 2017 at the age of 98. We did several stories on Rachel over the years that helped make her an international celebrity, resulting in interviews with media organizations all over the world. In fact, we connected Rachel with NBC, resulting in an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and with the president of the Ford Motor Company at the time, Alan Mulally, who sent a staff member to give Rachel a special gift. Rachel was unique, and the older she got, the more herself she became. And even given her important lessons about taking care of and appreciating what you have, her greatest lesson might have been just that, being unapologetically yourself, especially as we get older. If not now, when? You know, back in the day, one of my favorite albums was Deja Vu, released in 1971 by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. One of the songs on the album is Almost Cut My Hair, which I like because not only did I have hair back then, I had a lot of it. And part of the lyrics are, I feel like letting my freak flag fly, a metaphor for being who you are and not trying to conform to the expectations of others. The song became an anthem for hippies worldwide, and it should be for us now. Most of us over the years have had our weirdness, our creativity, and our individuality squeezed out. Now is the time to nurture that which makes us unique. We all have to let our freak flags fly, because that's growing bolder.
The Growing Boulder Radio Show is a production of Growing Boulder, LLC, all rights reserved. This program was recorded at Growing Boulder Studios in Orlando and is available as a weekly podcast on NPR One, iTunes, Spotify, and TuneIn. It is written and produced by Jill Middleton, Mark Middleton, and Bill Schaefer. Technical director is Jason Morrow. Production manager is Michael Nanis. Chief audio engineer is Mac Dula. And our most important team member, you. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to keep growing bolder every day.
Crimson flames tied through my ears, flowing high and mighty trapped. Countless fire and flaming rope, using ideas as my maps. We'll meet on edges soon, said I. Proud neath heated brow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Leap for, rip down all hate I scream.